Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The News, recorded Sunday, September 12th, 2021. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. Everything that you need, liquor, beer, and wine, they got it covered for you. Also, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, and you can go check them out in the downtown drinking district of Northville with their pop-up. Also, PCI Brandcraft, that's right, anything you could throw your logo on, that's what they do. Whether it is a hat, cap, mug, glass, you send it to them. They help you out and get you a great deal by supporting a Michigan company. Find us on all of our social medias. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find out what we were drinking by friending us on Untapped Bod Podcast. And of course, you can listen live Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern. Our next episode is going to be September 17, 2021, with Zach Topinski of Urban Rest and Travis Fritz of Old Nation. That's facebook.com/ Better on Draft, betteronDraft.tv, or twitch.tv/ Bod Podcast. We will see you in the next one. Welcome, everybody, to the news segment. It is September 12, 2021. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It has been quite some time since we have had a podcast. We had a week off, and then we had a cancellation last week. The guests did not cancel. We had to cancel due to an illness, a.k.a. I could not manage the show. Thankfully, I am healthy and back and good to go. With that in mind, let's find out what everybody is drinking. I'll start off first. I am finishing my Great North Aleworks Marzen Rover Amber Lager that I have here, and that is from Manchester, New Hampshire, and I will be following it up. It's because I took a little bit of offense during the interview that nobody likes brown ales. But the Frost Beer Works from Hinesburg, Vermont, the brown ale brewed with maple syrup. So that is going to be what I will be cracking open after that. Rob, what are you drinking?
Right now I have cracked open a now cold flannel weather beer from Eastern Market Brewing Company, AKA their, pumpkin amber ale, which has a very light, dry hint of pumpkin because they basically threw like one can in there and you still taste it. It's very interesting for, you know, such a mass produced beer that for their, you know, few cans of pumpkin that were put in here, you can taste it pretty well. And then of course, the intro beer, which I will describe later.
Wendy, what about you?
I am still working on the Ambrosia collaboration with City Built and Ascension. And, of course, the peanut butter marshmallow gorilla juice because, you know, that's a
60%.
Fantastic beer to have at 2 o'clock on a Sunday before I do my homework.
I mean, I still always tell the story of Dan when he came over. When I lived in Detroit, we went for a Lions game, and he came over at 10 to pregame, and he picks out, like, barrel-aged Scotty Karate for me to drink right away. Because I'm like, hey, grab me a beer. And he just picks it out. I'm like, God damn it. Like, oh, I guess we're starting hard and fast. Before we get into the news, I wanted to give a quick shout out to all the winners real quick for the GABF from Michigan, including the following breweries. Congratulations to all of you. Albion, Malleable, Waypost, Kalamazoo Valley Community College getting a bronze for their contemporary Goza Sour Flower, Cedar Springs, Territorial, Bell's, that brand new beer over there is No Yeah, and Transient getting a cask-aged rye lager. So great job to all of them for sure. And I want to give a preview because we have two awesome shows coming up on September 17th. We've got some return guests. Guests that we have not had for a while. We have had them a few times. We've gotten to know them very, very well. But we're going to have Zach Topinski from Urban Rest and Travis Fritz from Old Nation as they will be talking about an upcoming collaboration that they are doing. And in 2 weeks, on the 24th of September, Oscar Blues is going to be in studio. So great two shows coming up. Make sure you join us live 7 p.m. Eastern Fridays. With that in mind, let's
Here is Robert with the beer news.
And of course, if you're watching live or if you're listening to the podcast, come check us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/ Better on Draft. You can see Rob chugging the news beer. What was the news beer?
The news beer, obviously, been off a couple weeks. I was a little slow on that one. The news beer is I think it's about a little over a year old. It is the Dunkin' Pumpkin from Harpoon. Because, you know, pumpkin beers. This is what happens. Still pretty damn good.
I would be proud of you.
I saw so many pumpkin beers on the shelves when I was up in the Northeast. They still care about it a lot. Unlike that, there was that one year where pumpkin beers like exploded and everybody wanted them, and then the next year nobody wanted them and they all sat on the shelf. I want to say that was like 2015 is when they exploded, and then 2016 is when they died, or it might have been 2016, 2017.
Nobody wants a pumpkin beer in July.
I mean, nobody wanted a pumpkin beer in October for these beers. I saw pumpkin.
Not that they've been sitting on the shelf since July.
That's true.
Well, it's still good.
My local store that year, I totally remember the year that you were talking about, Penn, because when they put them out, there was a shelf right in front of it, in front of the door at my local. When you walked in, it was all pumpkin beer. And I was like, oh, it's too soon. You're going to be sorry you did that. And come October, that whole shelf was still there, and it was just had sale signs on everything.
Yeah, they...
I guess that is one thing we can kind of talk about before we kind of get into the news, or like the articles. Because obviously every year we deal with season creep. And anyone who has a Costco or a Sam's Club membership know it too well that when you walk into a Costco in June or July, the Halloween costumes are already up. Probably come next week, the Christmas stuff will already be out. It really is the same thing with the beers, that they come out a little earlier, but you know, they do tend to say that it's because of the demand, and that they're trying to prepare for the demand, and they don't have the barrel space to try and, you know, or the capacity to make these beers and make them at the time, the exact right time that they should be made, because they're busy trying to make everything else to make sure that they have their stouts and porters for the winter, and then get their, you know, for Bell's, get their hop slams and their IPAs ready for, you know, the new year. I mean, I guess I don't see a problem with them having them this early. Just maybe the quantity that is just too much that they put out there, that it's just that what Wendy is saying is that the stuff is not going to go on the shelves. I don't know. It's just like, even with the Oktoberfest, it does feel like the Oktoberfest does come out a little early, but you know, it's September now. It's Oktoberfest time. So we essentially should be drinking it. I don't know. I guess it's just my two cents.
September is actually Oktoberfest time. But what a lot of people don't realize is that the pumpkin beers, most of them don't actually have pumpkin in them, because pumpkins aren't ripe yet. By the time pumpkins get ripe and they're ready to use actual pumpkin in the beers, they wouldn't be able to brew it in time for it to come out for pumpkin season.
Okay.
It's not really pumpkin beer, it's spice beer.
Pumpkins, well, when you throw the spice word in there, it seems to bring out a whole new connotation of a certain person. That, you know, people are part of that stigma.
Rob, what do we got going on for the news?
All right. A couple weeks ago, there was an article that came out on Brewbound about Boston-based alcohol e-commerce platform Drizzly, which was expanding throughout Portland and Eugene, Oregon. Along with 17 new partnerships locations, that their new partnership with Pearl Specialty Market, it was going to enable statewide direct-to-consumer shipping in Oregon. So now, along with Washington, D.C., this makes Oregon the 11th state with direct-to-consumer shipping, those states would be California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Washington, Wyoming, and Florida. In the article, Jeff Carroll, GM for beverage alcohol at tax compliance company Avalara, was asked about the rapid growth of delivery services. And he says that we're witnessing a growth of what he was calling a fourth tier in the industry, but that is going to take time to be able to get through this. He said that, quote, it's going to take 15 years plus for the beer industry to basically make up the ground that the wine industry already has. But, you know, that it's not quite there in terms of having a really comprehensive national direct-to-consumer program where you allow all these shipments to go into metro, major metro areas. He's kind of hoping that, you know, breweries will get to that same level of access that wineries have, though he predicts in roughly 10 years, the beverage alcohol landscape will consist more of centralized warehousing with bigger inventory, more selection, and more widespread delivery. And that, going back a little bit to Drizzly, in that their partnerships with retailers may be an initial movement towards this, and the blurring of the lines between delivery and DT shipping just kind of, you know, just melds into one. I guess I'm curious with you guys that, I mean, are we really 10 to 15 years away from these improvements? Could it be sooner? Could it be later? Could it be never? Are we ever going to, I mean, hell, I guess just even looking at Michigan alone, are we as a state in 10 to 15 years going to get to direct-to-consumer shipping? Go with Ken on it first.
I mean, I don't know. Like, we saw what we could do when, like, the chips were down and we needed shit done. But we've talked about it both on the show and like in our Slack channel, is that you need a lot of things to align for these types of changes to exist. It's not going to happen overnight. I want to call back to our guest earlier today, Mark Dredge, and he mentioned something that the culture within the, like, in the U.S., I think also takes form in the government too, because of the need of government control, taxing, controlling where it gets sold. And as much as Michigan, you know, we have our party stores, not every state has the luxury of being able to just walk to the nearest, you know, party store or grocery store 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Like, a lot of these things, like, don't exist. And there's a reason why they don't exist today. You know, they don't exist today is because you don't have government officials that are going to push for the change. We don't have a big enough, like, the change that will happen, while it may be, it'll make our lives better, it won't make money. And therefore, I don't think there's going to be that much of a change. It won't really affect jobs. It won't really affect livelihoods. There's nothing until you get someone who is passionate about the industry into government to push the narrative and the agenda. And it could be as older governmental officials retire and they're being replaced by you know, your Gen Xers, your millennials. You know, you might see that because there's a lot of lifestyle change issues that come with the younger generation. But 15 years, I mean, that's 2036. I'm going to be 50. Can it happen before I'm 50? I don't really see it. I think we're stuck in a lull easily for the next three market cycles of government, 4 year cycles, I think. So I don't think anything's going to happen unless we have COVID 2021. that's my opinion. Sure, I do own Better on Draft, but that is not necessarily the opinion of Better on Draft as an organization. That is just Ken Kunderszewski, period. But I'm curious what you guys think. I mean, I definitely have more doom and gloom on it, but I just, you know, Rob, I know you've been there since the 1800s, so you've seen how slow government reacts.
You have no idea.
But I just think we have more pertinent issues within the country that even these better life changes that could occur within our country simply by changing laws won't happen because you can't add a number on it. You can't say I've added 800 jobs because of this. I've added $2 million in taxes. Like, a lot of these things just don't exist within that part of the industry. But I'm open to other opinions.
Sure. Wendy, your thoughts?
I agree with it. I think we've come a long way in the past year, but like Ken was saying, I think it is reactive. A lot of the things that get changed are reactive. They're not proactive. So until we start pushing for more things, it's just not going to happen.
I mean, dare I say, if Pauline Wenzel was not in the Michigan House of Representatives, I don't think a lot of the that huge tie bar bill would have moved. I think we would have got something just because we needed something for a restaurant and the restaurant industry, but without her marching forward, because this is something that she cares about a lot. Again, we need more Pauline Wenzel pro alcohol industry representatives in speaking for the state of Michigan to move things forward. Without that, it's just there's nothing for it. There's nothing for us to accomplish because nothing will change without those people.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, what do you think, Rob?
I feel like there's too many old heads in government, and it makes it very difficult for the new generation to be able to make laws like this that can adapt to the ways of the new. And too many people who just want everything that's, you know, in the good old days, which, you know, I have my feelings of when people say it's like I miss the good old days, and you know, I kind of pull out my inner Chris Rock / DL Hughley / you know, Dick Gregory, and you know, get a little sensitive. We'll just put it that way. But yeah, it's kind of like what you're saying, Ken, is that, you know, we need more that is going to be, hell, we need more people who are running the guilds to be able to pull off political stances, to be able to stump and run for their own positions as representatives. And so to go from, you know, running the guild to being a part of the actual government. Now, that does, I'm not saying that to say that that's the only platform that they need to run on, because clearly there are more issues and other pressing issues that we have, you know, from a district to a state to a country. But, you know, we need somebody who has that experience to know that this stuff is going on and that there are these other possibilities where, you know, you could make more tax money. You could make more jobs. Maybe you might not. You might just make things that are easier for other people to be able to do and live and see. It's not all about, you know, making revenue and making jobs. It could just be about making shit a hell of a lot easier. And we don't have the people to do it. 10 to 15 years, we probably still won't have enough people to do it. So
Michigan will need some type of fermented beverage guild that has full-time employees that invest in the time and effort to push actual Congress people. But again, without someone in, you know, the Michigan state or the Michigan House that care about the industry enough, like, nothing's gonna happen. You need that extra. You can put as much money as you want. The amount of money, like tax wise, is pennies compared to what will move the needle for someone to care. Right. So you need someone to care in the first place.
Hashtag term limits. But we'll move on.
not a political podcast, folks. Please do not rate us on iTunes. One for being a political podcast. We are simply discussing the politics of the beer industry and changes in laws. You think that stopped anyone?
I mean, we can't talk about beer without, you know, the politics in beer. That's where we cut the limit, and that's what everybody should know, is that Yes, we have a rules where we don't talk about religion, we don't talk about politics, but we do talk about politics when it pertains to the beer that you want to drink and when you want to drink it and how you want to get it. So it's there. It's part of it. Go fist up, motherfuckers. All right, I'm going to break it down. Okay, so just before Labor Day in Texas, they have now changed their laws again. It used to be not too long ago, probably about a couple years ago, that you could not buy beer or alcohol on Sundays at all. And then it was changed that you could purchase beer and alcohol on Sundays. It just had to be after 12 o'clock, 12 noon. So now they have made another change to the law where the time at which you can purchase beer and alcohol starts at 10 a.m. It is, and of course, you know, killing off some of these so-called blue laws in that prohibited sales of certain goods on Sundays, which I was looking this stuff up, and I did not realize that these blue laws also included that you could not purchase things like pots, pans, washing machines, and things of that nature on a Sunday until 1985. So it's still relatively recent for, you know, some of us that have been around here since, you know, the Lincoln days. Now, there you go, Ken. That one's for you. Obviously, this new change in the law is reflected on online pickup and delivery from stores that participate. But it actually, this kind of still goes into what we were just talking about with, you know, these laws and how these things are, you know, prohibitive in states where, you know, you can't buy alcohol. You can't buy beer. I mean, I could imagine, as you know, on my other TV screen here or my monitor here, I've got my Steelers playing the Bills right now. And I'm looking at the Bills just thinking, what would that be like in New York if you couldn't buy alcohol and tailgate for this football game that people are putting themselves through flaming tables for to be able to have that fun and, well, fun and be able to do these things. And I didn't see if there were any other states that were still like this. I think Indiana was the last one, and then they've changed the laws. But I kind of feel like I know Texas is going in the direction, in the right direction. I just also feel like there shouldn't be it shouldn't be prohibitive to purchase beer and alcohol at any time on any day. And I'm curious what you guys are thinking about. And it's just, I don't want to feel like someone is being judged that they're going to the store and going like 8 a.m. because they're going in there to buy some absinthe. I mean, if that's what they need to do at 8 a.m. for a party later, then that's what they need to do. But we should be able to do it. Wendy?
I'm going to jump in real quick and say, yes, you should be able to buy it whenever you want, wherever you want. Football culture is completely different down south than it is here. So it is not dependent on alcohol. And three, that is all I'm going to say about Texas. I'm going to bow out of this story.
Very fair. Very fair.
I mean, I've always been under the last call and stuff like that. Like, that kind of stuff just needs to be a business decision itself. Last call at 2 a.m. only promotes drinking a lot between 1 and 1:45 because you can't drink anymore at 2. Banning someone from buying booze at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. at a Kroger is not necessarily you're not doing anything. So a lot of these laws, I'm sure, have reasons, and I'm sure, you know, Dan probably may have known what they were just because Dan has some weird knowledge of random stuff like that. But I think we just need to open up. I mean, we kind of talked about it again with our interview this week with, you know, Mark Dredge. It's the it's the culture of alcohol and how we make these changes within our country. And limiting purchasing of alcohol on a certain day just means that you're limiting the purchasing, not the drinking, nothing else. You're just stopping someone from being able to make a sale to a person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I go to Texas every year, and every single year I'm there Wednesday to Monday, and I'm – or Tuesday to Monday, and I'm drinking every day while I'm there, and – like, I never worry about it because I also buy booze and leave it in my hotel room. That's all you're doing is you're making me buy booze the night before so that I drink it from my hotel as opposed to paying money at a bar or restaurant.
Right.
That's all you're doing.
Well, and as to Wendy's point, in terms of Texas's laws, they tend to be like a broken clock. They're only right two times a day. So I guess at least with their progression on this one, it's good. But, you know, with others, then, you know, they're not. They're very not. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
So continuing the news.
Continuing on to the news. So we're going to get into actually, this was kind of going with our guest and some issues that have been going on over in the United Kingdom. They have definitely been seeing some issues. One place, Wetherspoons, which is one of the United Kingdom's largest pub chains, admitted this week, or last week rather, that they were struggling to keep some of their major beer brands in stock. One of the issues that the biggest issue that they've been running into is the lack of drivers. There's been a shortage of drivers, which is reportedly leading to the beer shortages in some of the pubs that are around the country. Molson Coors, owner of one of the two brands that big brands that are out there, further explained to I believe it was to the BBC that. The issue was due to the drivers, and like many in the great British brewing and pub sector, they've been hit by this heavy goods vehicle driver shortage. And the company was quoted as saying as much. They said that while their overall availability is good, there are intermittent pockets of pressure in their supply network that are unfortunately affecting a number of the Wetherspoons pubs. There was a report from the BBC that the UK's Road Haulage Association says that the country had about 100,000 fewer drivers than it used to. And it's driven basically by a mix of not only the COVID-19 issues, but with Brexit. And a British government spokesperson had told foodandwine.com, is where the article comes from, that they are working closely with the industry to address sector changes and have plans to streamline the process for new drivers to gain their heavy goods vehicle license and increase the number of driving tests. Obviously, if this continues, this is going to be a very big issue in terms of trying to get this beer to the pubs to be able to get to the consumers. And trying to look at that from an American perspective, I mean, we do have, you know, a good chunk of drivers that are out there, you know, as being part of the trucking industry myself, that there are a lot of trucks that are on the road. We have, or the manufacturer that I work for, that we have a lot of vehicles that we have to put out there for new trucks to be put out. But, of course, there is this microchip shortage, which I know some people have known about, that makes it very difficult to even get the trucks out there. Never mind worrying about the drivers that are trying to get out there to put these products out for everyone. But looking at it from our side, if we get to a point where we start running out of trucks or we start running out of drivers, could something like that maybe make some changes to these laws a little bit more? I mean, we could, I don't know. We could be looking at something. Maybe that's the thing that we could be missing, that, you know, never mind a COVID situation that gets these laws changed. It could come to a point where we don't have the drivers to get these products to people. And if we want to keep jobs, we got to make money, don't we? That's just where it is.
This has been a very interesting episode of the news, I'm going to say.
Definitely, because I was not really expecting all of these articles to really point to kind of the same thing.
Well, I mean, it all points to the government itself, but I think, you know, we have a lot of labor shortages here in the United States, albeit for a platitude of different reasons. Some of the same, some different, some political, as is in the UK with, you know, Brexit, some COVID-wise, obviously. And then obviously supply chain. I mean, supply chain is one of the biggest hit industries, not industries, but one of the biggest hit things is that it's not necessarily people are like the issue is just the supply chain. And there's just so many kinks in the supply chain, whether it is production of the chips or people to get the, you know, to load the trucks or truck drivers to drive somewhere or somewhere to buy it, you know, someone to buy it. There are a lot of kinks within the supply chain itself as a whole. With regards to the United Kingdom, you know, I think that they don't necessarily probably have the same issues as we do within the United States, just because our country's a lot bigger. So we require a lot more time, effort to move things. I don't know. These issues scare me because it brings in the ability for a large corporation to fill in the blanks and then get stuck filling in the blanks. And when I say large corporation, I mean Amazon. And when I say fill in the blanks, I mean change laws that make Amazon the now beer driver of the United Kingdom. Now, I'm not saying Amazon specific. I'm using Amazon as just large encompassing corporation. It could be some massive UK organization. And I mean, like, Weatherspoons is a pretty big organization to where they could probably figure out a way to manage and control their own supply chain within the laws of the UK and Ireland. So, I don't know. It's there. Where there's a will, there's a way. People will figure out a way to do it. There, you know, the UK is struggling with a lot more regarding COVID than we are, just because of the different variants that are over there and things that are happening within the country, and the lockdowns that make it a lot more difficult for that. But you know, maybe we'll do a separate episode, drinking while political, and we will break down the politics a little bit more. But I mean, for here, it's not a secret where a lot of us lie on the spectrum of politics, but in the same sense, there's a lot more that we just don't. There's a lot more information we just don't know and could speak on within the UK.
See, I knew I should have went with the damn shower beer. Getting a workout beer instead of a shower beer.
We'll finish with something a little upbeat, Mr. Yeah. Robert. But I want to give you guys the opportunity to make a statement before we continue.
Right now, I think the string of articles I've put have just pretty much made me just think of my favorite Terrell Owens response. Next question.
It's again, there's nothing wrong with the questions, because there are we as a country, the United States, not necessarily the United Kingdom. We need Mark Dredge for that. You go listen to that episode if you have not already. We need to there's just a lot of things that need to change to improve the alcohol industry, and we need the government to fix it, because we can't fix it because of the government. So it is a catch 22 that leads us where we are. But I you know, going harkening back to the last, you know, that 15 years, is it going to happen within 15 years? We just need the right people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. big changes within our country, you probably could, you know, 100 years later, you can find the 15-year trend of how it worked. But right now, you can't see something. I can't see something today that's going to fix something in 15 years. That unless, like, you know, someone runs on the platform, I will fix the alcohol industry. I mean, they might get my vote.
I guess we will see.
Rob, just give me something a little more uplifting before we go into King of the Hill. I need something.
All right. Do you want to go on about the workout beers?
Yeah, let's argue about that.
Let's work over there. All right. So there was a systematic review on beer consumption related to endurance sports that was published in the International Journal of Sports Nutrition and Exercise Metabolism this past July. And among its findings, light beer could be a decent recovery aid post-exercise, even as good as water in some aspects. Based on this research, a low ABV beer, one that is less than 4%, can be effective as a post-workout hydrator. And the review also says that adding sodium to non-alcoholic beer can improve its rehydration properties. But even the scientists add the caveat that this creates a taste problem, because obviously who the fuck is just going to throw in some salt into a, you know, a Heineken NA? I don't know. Just going to do that.
I used to bowl with a guy who would buy Miller High Life and get a glass of ice and pour the High Life into the ice and add salt. It was the weirdest thing ever. This guy also would throw like six strikes in a row followed by a gutter ball. So I don't know if that's the alcohol going, but yeah, I mean, I could never do it, but I've never tried it, so I can't really say I wouldn't like it.
Right. Now it goes on to say that once you go over the 4% alcohol content or have more than one or two 12 ounce low ABV beers, that's where the benefits decline. And that you're at the risk of including higher water loss, reduced muscle gains, less than optimal training, and potentially an increase in body fat. So I am definitely interested in this because, you know, kind of with our previous guest, Matt Dredge, what he was talking about with doing a 100K, that I have been trying to work myself up to get myself to do a 5K. I know this sounds so damn small, but to get myself to do a 5K come Thanksgiving morning before the Thanksgiving parade here in Detroit and get back to running those. And I definitely am interested in just like being able to just finish a run, have a beer and just enjoy myself. But I'm trying to figure out what exactly to enjoy that is going to be at 4% or less. And I think I'm having a very difficult time doing that as for everybody who's watching and anybody who is going to be listening, I'm pouring right now a can of Saldana, I believe. Yeah, Saldana, the beer from Five Shores. Shout out to Takuma Brews who came up with this one. I'm finally drinking this damn thing. But this is definitely not 4%.
I mean, you could easily go into, like, we've got a few low-cal, you know, beers, like your Short's got a low-cal, I want to say Atwater's got a low-cal, Lighthearted from Bell's is a low-cal, that's L-O-W-C-A-L, not local, and pronouncing it weird, low-cal.
And I'm just not doing a Michelob 64. that is out.
I mean, if you're looking for beer, I wonder, since you're going to be in downtown Detroit, I wonder if DBC is going to do anything. Detroit Beer Co.
Yeah, that would be like shout out to Mr. Riopel over there.
Yeah, like if Detroit Beer Co's got a low-cal IPA, who sponsors the 5K? Is there a brewery sponsor? Probably Atwater.
I don't believe there is. I think that's just basically that's done.
Just a braid company.
That's just a braid company, yeah.
Turkey Trot. I've thought about doing it. I don't know. I'm not a big runner.
I even have the kids wanting to do it, so it is going to be a very interesting morning. Because they will have to get up that early and do this. But I think the thing that I am interested of, or like really stuck on right now is the idea of having a workout beer as opposed to a shower beer. I know, Wendy, you are a very big proponent for having shower beers, but I will entice you to, after a workout, have a beer as opposed to a shower beer, and tell me what if there is a difference in what it feels like to have a workout, a post-workout beer, as opposed to having a during shower beer.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'll take that challenge. I did want to point out, though, that I think it's interesting because they say that it needs to be a light beer, low ABV, which a lot of us make fun of some of those beers by calling them water beers, right? And then it says if you add sodium, it will even give you more rehydration properties, which is basically the whole science behind Gatorade and Pedialyte. They add sodium to it in order to replace those electrolytes that you lost sweating or during your sickness or whatever. So I think it's interesting because they just made it a beer version of Gatorade.
Don't give Gatorade any ideas. Although Gatorade has the money, they have the possibilities. I
think it's funny because that's literally the science behind Gatorade, and now they're doing it with beer. So,
I mean, if because Listerman's brewery out of Cincinnati, they have their Haterade series, which they put it on the can, whether it's fruit punch or grape or lemon lime, that it's these flavors with electrolytes. So in a way, it's like they almost already do it. I don't know. I guess it would be very interesting with a lot of the changes that have been happening with, you know, from, you know, the news that came out, what was it, a couple weeks ago or a month ago, that Mountain Dew was making an alcoholic version of Mountain Dew, that maybe that is a thing that happens in, you know, a year to 2 years from now, that all of a sudden Gatorade starts making a 3% ABV Gatorade.
My opinion on the Mountain Dew thing is just because nothing mixes well with Mountain Dew. That's why they had to come up with an alcoholic.
That's not true. That is not true, because Mountain Dew was made to mix with, I believe it was made to mix with whiskey. That was the reason Mountain Dew was made, was because somebody wanted a mixer to go with whiskey, and they came up with Mountain Dew to go into it. If you ever get a chance, if you go to a bar and try it. I mean, I actually had a trivia question about this, and I was wondering what this would taste like, and one of my teams ordered it from the bar. It's not bad. I would say to definitely try that. Try mixing whiskey with Mountain Dew and just see what it's like. It sounds weird, but give it a try.
Ken, any challenges this week?
Oh yeah, I'm throwing it all down. It's school's in, homework time, homework season.
I don't like drinking while I'm eating, so I'm definitely not in the mood to drink after I work out. I like drinking time being my drinking time.
Drinking time is drinking time.
Well, the only 5K I really want to do is one where I can get a beer when I'm done.
That basically would be the mustache dash, if they do it, if they are doing it this year. I don't know if they are. But that one, the finish line, at least the last time that I ran it, the finish line was at Atwater.
Yeah, Atwater used to have the high-tailed ale, I think it was, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did.
Well, that's going to do it for the news segment for September 12, 2021. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back on September 17, 2021 for Urban Rest and Old Nation. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Go Stillers. Peace.